From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, June 14th, 2016, and we have a loaded hour here on WKAR's Current Sports. A great show, and of course, we encourage you all out there to be a part of this 60 minutes. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR. On today's show, we will be chatting with the head coach of the St. John's Division II State Championship Boys Golf Team, Paul Sternberg. That's right, you don't want to miss that. It was an incredible two-day event out at Bedford Valley Golf Course this past weekend, just north of Battle Creek, as St. John's won their very first state championship for the program in 55 years. You do not want to miss that chat. We will also, of course, recap what took place last night in Game 5 of the NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Things getting a bit more interesting in that series. Also, the Detroit Lions are adding a new aspect, I guess you can say, to their regular entertainment down at Ford Field. We'll chat about that. And on the back end of the show, it is Tuesday. We love to take take the edge off the work week and break the monotony that is the work week with a segment we entitle Tickle Tuesday, as we look at some of the funniest moments currently in the world of sports. And also, we will recap the Detroit Tigers' extra inning game against the New York Yankees last night. That and so much more. Again, call in 517-355-9527. But let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, as you all know, we dedicated our entire show yesterday to the life of Ron Mason. As you all know, legendary Michigan State hockey coach and former Michigan State athletic director Ron Mason passed away Monday morning in Hazlitt. It is now being reported that the cause of death was from an apparent heart attack. At the age of 76, Mason was the most winningest college coach, up until the late 2012, when he was surpassed by Boston College's Jerry York. Mason led the Spartans to the 1986 NCAA National Championship and has produced 35 All-Americans and more than 50 future NHL players. Coach Mason was inducted into the United States Hockey Hall of Fame in 2013, and his legacy lives on forever at Michigan State. And we, of course, will be paying tribute to Ron Mason throughout this entire week as well. Again, we encourage you all to call in and weigh in via social media on your thoughts and memories on now the late Ron Mason. Visitation for the Detroit Red Wings legend Gordie Howe is running from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. today, currently happening at the Joe Louis Arena, downtown Detroit. Now, last Friday, we paid tribute to Howe, who passed away after a long fight with dementia. The Howe family will be present to greet the public as guests pay their respect to Mr. Hockey. Howe's funeral will be held tomorrow, June 15th, at 11 a.m. at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Detroit, Michigan. Former Red Wings announcer Dave Strader has been diagnosed with cancer. During the late 1980s and early 1990s, Strader was the voice behind the Detroit Red Wings, spending four seasons with NBC Sports Network. Strader also has caught the Winter Olympics and has spent time with Florida and Phoenix in the NHL. Nearly 36 years of broadcast experience, Strader said, quote, he was ready to meet this challenge, end quote, in an online article from the Detroit Free Press. For the first time in franchise history, the Detroit Lions are finally adding cheerleaders. How about that? That's right. The Ford family believes adding cheerleaders will help aid the Detroit Lions fan experience. This now leaves only six teams in the National Football League without any cheerleaders. And after going 7-9 last season, the date is set. The Detroit Lions are set to report to training camp on July 28th. How about that? The schedule of the practices has not been released yet to the public. However, preseason will begin August 12th at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, where they will take on, of course, the Steelers. The Detroit Tigers fell to the Chicago White Sox yesterday, blowing a 7-0 lead after a walk-off single in the 12th inning off of Tigers pitcher Anibal Sanchez. The White Sox had officially completed their 10-9 comeback. Ian Kinsler stayed hot for the Tigers, hitting his 14th homer of the year and third in three games. Adam Eaton had four hits, including the walk-off single for the White Sox. The Tigers entered the top of the ninth with a 9-7 lead, and closer Francisco Rodriguez came in the bottom of the ninth looking for his 20th straight save, but of course was unable to get it. The Detroit Tigers will take on the White Sox again tonight at 8:10 p.m. in the Chi on Fox Sports Detroit. The Cleveland Cavaliers avoided elimination yesterday at Oracle Arena, defeating the Golden State Warriors 112-97 and sending the series back to Cleveland. The Warriors, who were without suspended forward Michigan State's own Draymond Green, were led by Klay Thompson, who had 37 points, and Steph Curry, who had 25 points. Their performance, however, was overshadowed by Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. James and Irving set a record by becoming the first pair of teammates to each score 40-plus points in a finals game. Remarkable stuff. Game 5 takes place on Wednesday at 9 p.m. on ABC. We'll have more from that game in just a second. And last and certainly not least, of course, as stated, not in attendance for the Warriors' loss was Warriors forward Draymond Green, who was suspended after receiving his fourth flagrant foul, which warrants an automatic suspension. Instead, Green took the game from Oakland Coliseum, home of to the Oakland Athletics. So he went from Oracle to the Oakland Coliseum, located right next door at Oracle Arena, while the Athletics had a game against the Texas Rangers. Per league rules, Green was not allowed to be in the building during the Warriors and Cavaliers Game 5. Warriors GM Bob Myers and retired Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch join Green in watching the baseball game. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I, of course, will read that comment live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show.
Defended, ball knocked away by Barnes. Iguodala ahead to Curry. Jumper in pursuit, blocked by James. Rejects it out of bounds. Good hustle defensively.
How many times have we seen this play? The chase down, blocked by LeBron.
Curry goes up in traffic, rejected by LeBron James, who knocked it out of bounds from the near sideline. He's one of the best ever at running down people.
Good job not giving up on the play, says to Curry. Get it out of here.
Deflected, taken by Iguodala. Off to the races, drive past Irving, gets inside. Layup blocked by James.
Iguodala with a good push. And James, the second chase down block of the game.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down, Luther. This thing is not over now. That's right. We still have at least one more game to play in this year's NBA Finals. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Tuesday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Try to liven the mood a bit on today's show. Yesterday was certainly a tough one, wasn't it? Still processing the news. Still does not seem real. Ron Mason passing away at the age of 76. For those that tuned into yesterday's Current Sports, you know that we held yet another tribute show to someone in the sporting world who has said goodbye. Ron Mason, this one hits very close to home, seeing as though Ron Mason was the head coach of the Michigan State hockey team for a long time. And he was also a former athletic director here at Michigan State. Ron passed away. Breaking news that came across the wire yesterday morning. I joined Mark Bayshore on Current State yesterday morning and broke the news to our listeners then. And just does not seem real. You know, I went throughout that entire day listening to other local sports talk radio shows and listening to other nationally syndicated shows who talked about hockey. We even brought up the news concerning Ron Mason and watched local coverage on Channel 6 and Channel 10 centered around the death of Ron Mason. And just really, really heartbreaking stuff. So, again, throughout this entire week, folks, we plan on giving tribute and paying homage to Ron Mason, his life and legacy. And we encourage you all to call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Special thanks to Chris Solari for being a part of yesterday's show. Chris Solari, beat reporter for the Lansing State Journal, he called in and gave his thoughts and memories about Coach Mason. And we even had a few throwback bites from Ron's United States Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony back in 2013. And even a spot with our very own Scott Pohl here of WKAR's Current State and former WKAR sports director, the great Earl Robinson, when news had broke that Ron was going to become the next Michigan State athletic director. So if you happen to miss that show, all you have to do is simply go to WKAR.org to check it out, or that or any show that we've done in Current Sports Radio history. Last week, we did a tribute show on Monday to Muhammad Ali. Friday, we did a tribute show to Gordie Howe. Please, I'm getting tired of doing tribute shows, okay? It's 2016 has not been kind. Not been kind at all. So it was certainly a somber mood throughout yesterday's 60 Minutes from 1 to 2 p.m. here on WKAR AM 870. So on today's show, we plan on livening that mood a little bit. Going to try to, at least. And we start by talking about Game 5 of the NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, a 112-97 win. The Cavs pulling this thing out, surviving to fight at least one more day. Yeah, Game 6 will take place on Wednesday night, as I mentioned. Golden State still leads the series 3-2. And man, oh man, what a game it was for two players in particular that donned a Cavaliers jersey last night. That being LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. How great were they last night? I've been waiting for LeBron to play like that all series. That was shades of the LeBron James that we saw during last year's NBA Finals, where he was basically playing 1-on-5, all right? He didn't have Kyrie Irving. He didn't have Kevin Love. And speaking of Kevin Love was a non-factor in last night's game. Kevin Love, goodness, 1-of-5 from the floor for just 2 points. They didn't need him, though. Did not need Kevin Love, folks, even though he played, 33 minutes throughout that game. But LeBron James, just fantastic. Shot over 50%. He was 16-of-30 from the floor last night. He had his jumper going, folks. He was 4-of-8. From the three-point line, 50% exactly from the three-point line. Impressive stuff there. He shot 5-of-8 from the free throw line. He finished with 41 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, and only had 2 turnovers. LeBron James played as good as you can play on that stage. Absolutely remarkable game for him. Kyrie Irving, you can argue that he was even better, though. If you can even make that argument, right? That's crazy that you can even make that argument. They both had 41 points. Kyrie Irving was 17 of 24 from the floor, 5 of 7 from three-point range. He only took 2 free throws. He had 6 assists, which is a rarity for Irving to have over 3 throughout a game, 2 steals, only 3 rebounds, but he's not the juggernaut on the boards. He's a guard, so just impressive performance. I mean, those two were remarkable, absolutely remarkable last night. That was fun to watch, and that was just a fun game to watch. I mean, back and forth. At one point, you know, from the Warriors' standpoint, their best player was clearly Klay Thompson. Klay was great, 11 of 20 from the floor. He had all 9 of his free throws. He finished with 37 points. Klay was lights out. As far as the league's MVP, Steph Curry, 25 points. He had an okay game. Steph was great in spurts in that game. He went 8 of 21 from the floor, but Steph hasn't been great throughout this year's NBA Finals. It kind of reminds me of last year's NBA Finals where Steph wasn't lights out. But again, this team is so deep. This team has so many weapons that if Steph doesn't have a great game, they have other guys to step up. But, you know, it was quite the contrary of that argument when discussing the Warriors last night. That absence, the absence of Draymond Green really hurt the Warriors last night. It definitely did, folks. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I was just online this morning, you know, doing some reading about the NBA Finals. And, you know, a name popped up that I'm not too fond of when discussing sports, let alone a game of basketball. And you guys remember Tim Donaghy, don't you? Tim Donaghy was the referee, former NBA referee, who came out and basically admitted and was caught of calling games in favor of a certain team, trying to sway the game one side or another. He was completely banned from the NBA. But, you know, Tim Donaghy, the disgraced former NBA official, he was forced to resign back in 2007 and actually later served prison time for his role in a gambling scandal. Just a horrible history when it comes to Donaghy in relation to the NBA, right? He made a statement on Monday that he thinks the NBA suspended Warrior center Draymond Green to prolong the NBA Finals. Of course, Green missed Game 5 on Monday night. As I mentioned in our Quick Hit Headliners, Green was not in the building per league orders. If you are suspended, you can't even be in the building. How crazy is that, right? Wasn't even even in the building for that Warriors and Cavs Game 5 last night. He was at the Oakland A's game, chatting it up with Marshawn Lynch, right? But, you know, he was assessed a flagrant 1 foul, bringing a mandatory 1-game suspension for hitting Cavs star LeBron James in the groin area in Friday's game. Now, of course, if you look at yesterday's show, we didn't get a chance to talk about anything but the death of Ron Mason. So we didn't even get a chance to talk about the news of Draymond Green not being available for Game 5 and getting suspended for that Game 5. So here's my take on the suspension first off. This had more so to do with history, in my opinion. Draymond Green, previous to the LeBron James incident in Game 4, Draymond Green was involved in 2 plays in which he was, I don't even know if you can use the word caught. I mean, in the motion of the play, Draymond had hit a respective player in the groin area. Not once, but twice, okay? So this was the 3rd incident where LeBron James was seen on camera hitting an opposing player in the groin area. So I kind of saw this coming, to be honest with you guys. Whether you thought it was just or not that he should have been suspended for last night's game, the writing was on the wall. You know, it's been 3 times now that LeBron James, three times that Draymond Green, has been involved with hitting an opposing player in the groin. So when the news came across my phone that LeBron James was going to be suspended for Game 5, I wasn't surprised. Was not surprised at all. As far as this whole conspiracy theory, that Tim Donaghy is throwing out, saying that the NBA wants to prolong the series. I keep it real here on the show. I always do. Always have, folks. And I would kick myself if this mic went off and I looked back at today's show and said, Al, you really don't believe what you just said, right? I got to be honest, folks. When watching the NBA, there have been times where I've watched the NBA when it comes to how the game is refereed and officiated. There have been times where I've looked at the game and said, I wonder if this is a Donaghy-esque situation. I must say that. When Tim Donaghy was caught in this whole gambling scandal and was caught, you know, basically admitting that he tried to sway certain games with his whistle, I've always looked at the NBA playoffs with a bit of a side eye, I must say. And I had the conversation with my stepdad and cousin on Sunday when we saw the news grace our respective smartphones that LeBron James, you know, in that whole incident with Draymond Green, that Draymond Green was not going to play in Game 5. I said to myself, the league just kind of wants this thing to go 6 or 7 because it's good for all parties. You know, who wants to see a sweep first off? You know, I found myself sitting on my couch last night rooting for the Cleveland Cavaliers because I don't want the NBA to end. I'm an NBA fanatic, all right? I want to see this thing go to 7 if possible. I want to see every series that I turn on in the NBA playoffs go to 7 games. So when I saw the suspension, I you know, of course it crossed my mind that, okay, the league just wants to see this game, wants to see this series, I should say, just prolong. So, yeah, that the thought crossed my mind. And then, coupled with the fact that I actually talked to Isaac about this yesterday, Isaac and I, we have like these, I wish there was like a current sports OT where you guys could just kind of chime in and just continue to watch us or listen to us after 2 o'clock. Because sometimes Isaac and I will literally, I'm sitting in my chair here in the studio. Isaac is behind the glass. Sometimes Isaac and I will literally sit down and talk with each other like we're still on the air via the microphone, not even in person, for at least 30 plus minutes after every show. But Isaac and I chatted about this yesterday, about, you know, and I brought up a point how looking at how the referees have really swallowed their whistles, especially in that Game 4. I mean, there were some blatant calls in that Game 4. I'm sitting there saying, whoa, my grandma can see that that's a foul. Why isn't, you know, why aren't you guys calling that? I mean, normally throughout an NBA regular season game, I mean, you can't touch anybody. But now, you know, it was just a very physical game. The referees didn't even bother to call anything that entire game. And I said to myself, okay, it looks like the refs want this thing to go deep. So, I don't know. It's a conspiracy theory. Can we prove this? No. I'm just throwing it out there, folks. But regardless, you know, why did the Cavaliers pull that game out last night? It was stellar play by LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. LeBron James finally found his jump shot. It is something I have been looking at and searching for throughout this entire series. Heck, this entire NBA season. LeBron James has not shot the mid-range ball great this entire year. He was fantastic, though, last night. He had it flowing, folks. And, you know, watching the defense that was played on LeBron James, when he started to knock down that mid-range jumper and he started to knock down even the three ball, the defense wasn't there. I must say, Iguodala did not bother to put a hand up on many of those threes. And then, of course, the Cavaliers, they love to run that high pick and roll. Tyronn Lue loves that. And you saw sometimes LeBron would have the basketball, a pick would come. Then you would see like a guy like Maurice Spates try to edge out on LeBron James. He would give him at least 5 feet to shoot, and LeBron James would just drill it. I mean, I saw that happen multiple times. That's where you miss a Draymond Green, because Draymond Green plays so well defensively off of the pick and roll. You better believe it, that if Draymond Green was playing in that game, you would have seen a few more hands in the face of LeBron James. So it hurt him. The absence of Draymond Green certainly hurt this squad. Then you saw, you know, Steve Kerr tried everything to try and slow down LeBron James. We even saw Sean Livingston matched up against James at one point, and that was just, what's that old phrase Shaquille O'Neal uses now? Barbecue chicken? Yeah, that was just straight barbecue chicken all day. Sean Livingston could not handle LeBron James. And we even saw LeBron James, he got the fast break game going. It was one play where he just grabbed a rebound, took it down the court, and just had a full head of steam right to the bucket. And this is what I said about LeBron. I love LeBron when he's in attack mode, when he is aggressive. And he had to be last night. If the Cavs wanted to survive last night's game, LeBron had to be the aggressor from start all the way to finish. And there were times where I thought LeBron James took a bad shot. You know, he would come down, you know, and have two guys on him and shoot a fadeaway jumper from the right of the basket, and it would clank off the iron. But I would say to myself, hey, at least he's being aggressive. That's what I wanted to see from LeBron James last night. So LeBron was absolutely fantastic. Kyrie Irving, whoa. My gosh, Kyrie Irving was on a tear, folks. Again, he also had 41 points. He was 17 of 24 from the floor. I mean, it was amazing what Kyrie Irving was able to do. Kyrie is one of those catch-22 guys, because you look at the shots that Kyrie Irving takes and you say to yourself, that's a bad shot. It's like he's out there just playing street ball. Most of Kyrie Irving's made field goals do not come off of a pass. They are for the most part, unassisted, folks. It's just Kyrie Irving just saying, give me the ball. Everybody else, get out the way. I'm going to make something amazing happen. And that's what Kyrie Irving did time after time after time last night. Klay Thompson was on him for the most part. Klay Thompson had this to say, quote, it happens. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, especially on the offensive end. So it obviously stings. And you watch the film, and you see what you can do better, but you don't let it deflate you for Thursday. You play the same hard-nosed defense and try to make them take the same contested shots. Again, 17 of 24. Thompson went on to say of Kyrie Irving's brilliant shot-making, quote, it happens. And yeah, it happened time and time again last night, folks. Irving just, I mean, a lot of the shots he took, you know, he had, again, as Irving stated, I mean, he played great defense on a lot of those plays. Contested shots, Irving just hit them. You know, I go back to that one play, for those who watched the game last night, where Irving drives left. He splits a double team. He takes Klay Thompson all the way to the paint. He bodies him up with two dribbles, turns around off the glass with a hand in his face, and one. Count it. You can't play better defense than that. Kyrie Irving was great. And going back to my original point, when the Cavs first the first game of this series, you know, and you compare the statistics here, the shooting statistics, the Warriors just missed shots. You know, again, I want to go to a stat here. According to SportView, which is a NBA, well, I should say a sports statistical analysis website, SportView reads the shooting statistics of the Golden State Warriors like this. Golden State went 4 of 19 on three-pointers characterized as, quote, wide open by SportView. And they characterize wide open as being 5 feet or more, the opposition being 5 feet or more from the shooter. Golden State shot 1 of 10 from three-point range in the fourth quarter alone. How about Harrison Barnes, who has been relatively consistent throughout this series? Harrison Barnes was horrible. He shot 2 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 6 from the three-point line. He had 5 points, folks. 5 points. Also, to pour salt in the wound, Andrew Bogut went out. No points. You guys saw the play. It looked like he hyperextended his knee. He may be done for the entire series. You look at Anderson Varejao. He came in and tried to give his team a bit of a spark plug. I love Anderson Varejao. He's a hustle player. Finished with 3 points. He was actually plus five when it comes to the plus minus statistics. He was plus five with 3 points in that game. And you look at, you know, the rest of the bench production. I mean, McAdoo gives you nothing. You know, Festus Ezeli gave you 2 points. That's rare. He went 1 of 3 from the floor. Mo Spates, 0 of 6, 0 points. Livingston, who has been great throughout this series, he was 3 of 7 for 7 points. Leandro Barbosa, who's a solid addition to this team, or solid player, I should say, for this team, 1 of 3 from the floor for just 3 points. So, Warriors missed shots. You can give a lot of credit to the Cavs defense as well for that, but this series just got interesting. I'm curious to see how this pans out. Iyatt called Golden State in 6. Isaac called the Cavs in 7. There's a possibility it could happen. No team has ever done that in NBA Finals history. We'll see. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9646. 95-27. I want to invite our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Cassins, to the show before we hit our first break. Isaac, what's your thoughts on how this series panned out last night?
So I've got a couple of thoughts on the night, a couple of things I jotted down while watching the game. Now, I think the number one prevalent question that is on everybody's mind is, plug Draymond Green into this situation. Plug him into that game last night, and is this series over? And my answer to that question is, no. It's a closer game, yes, but I think the Cavs win. Because I think, and first off, this is my other point, we take LeBron James for granted. We do. 41 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists. And I was happy actually to see you give due attention to him, but on SportsCenter.
How could you not? I mean, the stats, oh my goodness,
On SportsCenter, though, it's been all Kyrie Irving. And it should be half Kyrie Irving, but it should be half LeBron James. And we're just so accustomed to this type of production. This is his best finals game, in my opinion, that he's ever played. But,
well, I don't know. Last year was pretty good.
Last year he had a few.
Yeah, he had a few last year, yeah.
He did this in limited shots as well. I think he only had 30 shots on the game, maybe even less. And it's just the passing to go along with that, too. But I think you put Draymond Green, and you mentioned how LeBron James, I think he's the best passer in basketball right now. I think he's good off a pick and roll, finding the man in the corner. Draymond Green helps out there because he knows how to step up and then still transition back to his man once he helps out and the defense recovers. Kyrie Irving is not a great pick and roll player. He's not a great spot-up shooter. He is ISO to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
And Kyrie Irving,
he's the
Irving,
and-one mixtape tour.
He is.
Remember that?
Exactly.
It's like hot sauce, man. I'm
exactly.
Just get out of my way. I'm just going to do my thing. That's Kyrie Irving.
He's
all
Uncle
day.
Drew.
Right.
He's Uncle
right,
Drew,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So Kyrie Irving, when you're going ISO, and when you've got a top 10 perimeter defender, like I've said before about Klay Thompson on you, and you're hitting shots like the one you mentioned, or just about eerily a mirror image of that same play where he drove to his left, but instead of driving to the basket, he pulled up early, also spin, and hit a turnaround jump shot with a hand right in his face, mm-hmm. keeping his feet planted, no hint of a travel. No, there's no defending that. I think Cleveland wins that no matter what, and I think we've got a series now. It's the battle of momentum versus home court advantage because Cleveland's fired up. They are. And if they can get this game in Cleveland, which I think they will, I'll stick with my prediction, but I think that if they get this game, it'll be a two-game win streak versus home court. Both teams pretty healthy unless Bogut doesn't end up being okay, but, you know, we'll see about that.
That didn't look good.
It didn't look good at all.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great series. I thought – the analogy I made last night, too, was this is like a movie with a great script, a great storyline, and bad acting from one character, no matter what. We've got blowout after blowout, but the storyline is mm-hmm. so intriguing. I just can't keep my eyes off it.
But I will say that game was very competitive as it went on between the Cavs and Warriors last night. I must say that. And I think that when you look at LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, what they were able to do, again, first time ever that we you know, 240-plus games from,
in the finals.
You know, in yep. the finals. That's crazy. Let's be real here. That's not happening as this series goes on, Isaac. I'm not going to Vegas and say, yeah, LeBron and Kyrie are going to do that in game six. No. That's just it was one of those games where they were both in a zone, in a groove.
But the stat I saw.
It's not happening in game six.
The stat I saw, though, is that Cleveland's big three was outstanding last night.
No.
84 points between the three. two from Kevin Love.
Yeah.
So you can make up those points elsewhere, even if both don't score 40.
Right. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, I bet you, will not both score 40 points in game six. Somebody is going to have to take a back seat in game six, I must say. It was just a flawless game from both of those players, and it's hard to combat that. And I agree. I think if Draymond Green did play and you still have the performance that you got out of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, the Cavs still win because you're getting 40-plus points from the Cavs' two best players. So call in, folks, 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with the head coach of the St. John's Division II State Championship Boys Golf Team, Paul Sternberg. You do not want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Wherever a story develops, the Newsday team will be there.
Newsday's Shaima Khalil in the Egyptian capital.
Thousands of Mohamed Morsi supporters are still gathering here, really waking up to the dramatic events of yesterday.
I'm in the center of an absolutely extraordinary security operation.
Follow the story wherever it leads with Newsday from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition, more from Orlando, where for the first time we're learning about the scene inside this trauma center, where victims of the nightclub shooting were rushed. One doctor described it as a war scene. Victims just kept coming as doctors called for backup. Also trying to understand what motivated the killer. I'm David Green. We're in Orlando tomorrow on Morning Edition.
Morning Edition, tomorrow morning between 5 and 9 on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's bring on our guest for today's show. Folks, for the first time in this program's history in, 55 years? 55 years, that's a long time. 55 years, it kind of reminds me, Isaac, of that whole, have you seen that documentary, Believeland, 30 for 30 yet?
Haven't seen the documentary, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, because I watched a documentary in the city of Cleveland, and this is such an extreme example when comparing both of these two topics, but the city of Cleveland has not won a major sports championship in 50-plus years. The last time was the 1964 Super Bowl that took place between the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Oilers. Jim Brown, of course, that whole squad, just an unbelievable squad, right? But since then, Cleveland has not won a major championship in baseball, football, or basketball. So it's been a long, 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 long time. 50 years. And when I saw this stat concerning the St. John's boys golf team, I just kind of had a flashback to when I sat on my couch and watched that Believeland documentary. But, folks, this past weekend, history happened. The first state championship for the boys golf team at St. John's in 55 years, winning the event at Bedford Valley Golf Course, just north of Battle Creek, Michigan, after 2 days of play. Right now, we have the head coach of this historic squad, Paul Sternberg, on line one right now. And I believe, because Paul and I, we chatted before we brought him in on today's show, Isaac. And I believe, if I'm correct, Paul is actually on the golf course right now. Paul, are you there?
I am here.
Are you on the golf course, Paul? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Hole number 7 at Shepherd's Hollow down by Clarkston. Yes.
How about that? So I got to ask, Paul. Now you knew I was going to ask you this question. How you playing, my man?
I'm one over after 6. So
oh boy, that's
pretty
much
solid.
Better than me. I'll tell you that. All right. First off, Paul, can you take us through what transpired this weekend at Bedford Valley Golf Course? Again, the first state championship for the program in 55 years. What put you all in position to take that championship this past weekend?
Okay, first of all, I think you said Holt Rams instead of St. John's Red Wings.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, St. John's, yeah.
Yeah, for the St. John's Red Wings, yeah. We went in feeling really confident about being a top five team. We're good enough, and our top two players are both, par and even or a little bit under. And so, we knew we had a chance. I just, to be honest with you, I had no clue that we'd be shooting the kind of score we shot, the 298 and the 299. Mm-hmm. That really came out of nowhere. New school record for both, of course, a 36-hole and an 18-hole. So we went into that, and my one and two guys are so laid back. They both have a lot of experience with AGGA golf. Eric Nunn and Zach Rosendale. And so I had no worries about them. I just didn't know what our 3, 4, and 5 would do. They had no experience with this kind of pressure. But, man, did they come through. They came through strong.
Yeah, and you know, I got to ask, you know, Paul, what does this accomplishment mean to the school?
Oh, it means everything. It's really, it's only the seventh state title for the school, period. Not, you know, it's our first, but it's the seventh. Wrestling, of course, has been doing real well the last 3 or 4 years, but it means a lot. It puts us kind of on the map. You know, we're this little golf, your little school way up north and out in the boondocks, and we're not a golf mecca, that's for sure. And to get the kind of the caliber player that we've coming through here right now is just pretty amazing.
Paul, when did you think this was a realistic goal for this St. John's golf squad?
I think at the beginning of the year, I really thought we had, you know, we would qualify for states. I knew it was going to be tough with the region that we were in, but I thought we had the talent. We had shot 300 and 304 this year. I think we probably averaged about 157 something for our nine hole. So It was there. I mean, I had no doubt we were capable of it, but you never know. I mean, it's one day contest. You know, you have one bad day and it's all over with. So
now you mentioned Paul, Zach Rosendale, and Eric Nunn. They finished near the top. How big were they this season, and what makes those two so special?
Well, Zach has been playing golf since he was 8 years old, and he's actually committed to Michigan State as an eighth grader.
Wow.
And Eric is kind of the best-kept secret, I think, in the Lansing area, because they play a lot of summer tournaments. They're very dedicated to the sport, the only one they play. And so, you know, they put their time in for sure. And Eric came in just huge. That the second day, he birdied five of his last six holes. And that's just insane.
That is.
That's insane. So, yeah, it's those two are very important to us. They make and break us. But like I told my 3, 4, and 5 guys, we'll go as far as you take us. So, and they did.
And now, as far as Eric goes, you mentioned how Zach is committed to come to Michigan State, I believe, right?
And yeah, Zach Rosendale is committed to Michigan State, yes.
And Eric Nunn, what colleges are looking at him?
Well, he's right now, I think, Grand Valley, Wayne State, and I think Oakland University are the ones that he's been visiting. I don't know if he's actually gotten any offers yet, but he will. He will at some point. He actually tied for medalist for the 2 days. He shot 69 and 70, and he lost the playoff for the medalist. But yeah, he's solid. He just has no fear.
Absolutely remarkable, Paul. Now, you know, from a coaching standpoint, because, you know, I'm always curious when you evaluate other sports, team sports for that matter, like, you know, a football team or a basketball team. Now, again, a golf squad is a team in its own right, right? But when you're going out there, you are the one swinging the club. And from a coaching standpoint, and I play golf myself, Paul, golf is so mental. How do you go about coaching a team, you know, to a state championship? Are you in their ear a lot, or are you kind of just letting them go and just kind of giving them guidance as the round goes on?
Well, to be honest with you, excuse the cart noise. I have to move the cart here.
Oh, you're fine.
As far as the coaching part on the course, with my one or two guys the way they are, I just leave them alone. They're just a well-oiled machine. Turn the switch, you know, say go play golf, and you tell me what you shot at the end. The other three, because of the lack of experience, one being a sophomore, is that you have to be kind of part mom, part counselor, you know, part kick them in the butt kind of guy, because they'll get a bad shot, and then they pout or they put their head down, and you got to just say, look, this isn't a one-hole tournament. It's an 18-hole tournament today. And, you know, you have to keep plugging. You say, okay, you're doing well, but don't tell me what you're going to shoot in the head. If you shoot this and this, you play one hole at a time. Mm-hmm. That's the old adage, one hole at a time. And so you kind of, like my number five guy, who really, really careered this weekend, he's averaging 86, and he shot 79 and 76. He gets to start looking ahead. And so I say, okay, what hole are you on? He tells me, I said, no, you're on your first hole. No matter where you're at in this golf course, you're on the first hole. Mm-hmm. And it's the only one you want to know about or concern yourself with. And so, you know, I got to the point through the rounds. I come up to him and say, what hole are you on? He looked at me and go, first hole. I said, attaboy. And I'd move on. You know?
Right.
And so part of it, you know, they know to hit a bad shot. They don't need to tell them if they hit a bad shot.
Right.
You know, if they hit a good shot, that you tell them. But you leave the bad shots in the bag and you move on. So
is it
really what it is. It's just your part counselor out there. So
Yeah, certainly. It's got to be quite a tall order, though. I mean, because you're out there not just as a coach, but as in a way a counselor, a psychologist. I mean, is it tough, though? Because you're talking about young kids at the end of the day as well. And I know how golf can be, because when I'm out there and I hit a bad shot, I'm pouting myself. But how do you keep that confidence up?
Well, it's part of it is that you say, okay, you know, you've hit good shots. You know you're a good player. And it's just a matter of, you know, there's another shot. That's the beauty of golf. It's like you hit a bad shot, you've got another one. You know, you always get another chance. And so you just kind of, like I say, you kind of kick them in the butt a little bit, and don't let them put their head down. And like I tell them, and you said as far as the mental part, if you're not mentally tired, when you walk off a course, you didn't play very well that day. You've got to be focused every shot, because you know, as a golfer, one bad shot, your hole's done. So that's pretty much where you have to go with that. Just have to tell them to focus and stay the course, and hope they do.
Very true. Folks, if you are just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with veteran coach of the St. John's boys golf team, Paul Sternberg. And if you look at how things stacked up for St. John's this weekend, of course, St. John's pulled out the Division II state championship with a total score of 597 after 2 days of play at Bedford Valley Golf Course. East Lansing was runner-up at 601, and DeWitt took third with a score of 611. So three local mid-Michigan teams finishing in the top three. Paul, what does that say about golf here in this area?
Oh, it says tons. I mean, Dave Kenishnick does an amazing job down at DeWitt. Vic Whip at East Lansing, of course, he's a teaching pro, so he has some really good skills. And, no, I think it speaks volumes that three CAAC teams finish 1, 2, 3 in the state. It says that we have quality athletes, obviously, quality golfers, and dedicated coaches and golfers.
Now, when it comes to the state of golf, in discussion to the local schools here, Paul, again, I've been a reporter 4 years here in the area. Has it always been this way when it comes to local teams in golf?
Not to this extent. Not three teams at a time. We might have had, you know, one or two. DeWitt's been really solid, of course, the last, 5, 6 years. Mm-hmm. We've been steady. We've never been this good, but we've been steady. We had the Pauli brothers back in 2000 that finished fourth in the state, the Ryan Brehm era, and we beat them in a regional that year. But, you know, St. John's, you know, we're not a golf mecca. We're going to get that one or two kids come along every once in a while that makes you look really good. And my case right now, it's I have five guys that are making me look pretty good.
First state championship for the program in 55 years. I can imagine that the school has something special planned for you all. Am I right?
Well, we had a pep assembly yesterday, and then they'll raise a banner at the Red Ring Rally in August. We'll raise a championship banner then. And then I think they're going to recognize us at one of the football games this fall as well.
How cool is that for you, Paul?
Oh, that is so cool. And not to toot my horn, but I told the guys, I said, we have the first ever St. John's Hall of Fame that they're doing, and I'm going to get inducted into that first class. And I said, how cool would that be to get that and the state title at the same time? And lo and behold, there it is.
Oh, man. So, life is good for Paul Sternberg, I must say. All right, Paul, before I get you out of here, my man, kind of on the same notion as that the local dominance question when it comes to the game of golf here, when it comes to local schools, because we've had the conversation multiple times on the show here about how the interest within the game of golf for our youth seems to be dwindling over the years. What is your take on the future of golf for today's young pups trying to get out there on the links and play the game?
Well, I think the boys going to the spring really has had a drastic effect on that, because we don't have the middle range mediocre guys playing as much golf in the summer, because they figure, well, I'm not going to play again until next spring. You have your diehards like Zach and Eric; they're going to play regardless. Mm-hmm. And I think it is cutting into the numbers because of that. And we're going up against baseball, which, you know, and if you don't have parents playing, you don't have the kids have a reason to play that carrot, they're not going to play. So I think you're seeing the numbers, the fact that we're going back to just regionals next year, and we're not going to do a district.
speaks to that because the teams, we have schools that don't have enough players, can't field enough players to field the team. So I think it's, I don't think it's any risk of dying off, but I think you're going to see less and less quality players coming through over the years because of that. So,
Paul, how do you grow the game when it comes to today's youth?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How do you grow the game when it comes to today's youth?
I think the golf courses have to be willing to offer some you know, inexpensive you know, memberships to get them out there, to get them playing, and that will bring their parents and stuff with them. I think you have to there has to be more youth clinics that go on. I know the First Tee organization does a really nice job with that. But you have to get them young like any sport. And the problem is, you know, with the kids are split between soccer and baseball and all the other sports. You know, golf costs money. And it's not a poor man's sport by all means, although it's much better than it used to be. But that's, I think, to grow it, you're going to have to get out there and beat the bushes. You're going to have to promote it. The golf courses are going to have to promote more youth activities that don't cost an arm and a leg to be in, and just get the interest.
All right, Paul, before we get you out of here, you know, I love asking this question to anyone who has had some sort of success, this level of success in their respective sport. Paul, if you could choose one word to describe this past year for your team, what word will you choose and why?
I'm going to say earned. And the reason is our motto this year was nothing given, everything's earned. And we went into the season, everybody said, well, St. John's is going to be favored in the league and this, whatever. And I said, you know what? That doesn't mean anything. You know, they're not going to give us anything. They're going to try to take it away, and we have to earn it. And we definitely earned every bit of this reward. So, yeah, earned would be my one word.
And you guys certainly earned it. Again, folks, Paul Sternberg, coach of the St. John's State Championship Boys Golf Team. Paul, thanks so much for your time, and enjoy your round of golf, all right?
I will. Thank you, sir, for calling. Take care.
All right, let's start our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with Tickle Tuesday. And also, the Detroit Tigers fell in extra innings to the New York Yankees last night. Find out how that happened. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports.
Whether it's state politics or local issues.
I want to make sure that when they walk over in the morning and throw the switch on the wall, that they know their lights are going to come on. I don't want them nervous when every time a cloud comes over that a thunderstorm might interrupt their service.
Current State looks at Michigan from all the angles.
It's not a narrative people want to hear because it doesn't fit the image.
What you need to know, what you want to know. Current State daily on 90.5 FM and AM 870 WKAR, always at WKAR.org.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Yeah, thank you, Isaac, for that correction. I said New York Yankees before we hit that first break. They lost to the Chicago White Sox last night in a 10-9 loss for the Tigers in 12 innings at U.S. Cellular Field. It went to extras. And, man, I must say, Francisco Rodriguez has been having a solid stretch of baseball. Rodriguez actually tied with Baltimore's Zach Britton with an American League leading 19 saves. He struck out Adam Eaton to start the frame, but then came a one-out single to Melky Cabrera and a walk to Jose Abreu in the ninth. The Tigers exploded for 7 runs early on. Yeah, White Sox starter James Shield, he had a bad outing to say the least, but soon found themselves clinging to a 2-run lead heading into the ninth. So things certainly collapsed. But, you know, a 10-9 loss, it goes 12 innings. Prior to this game, the Tigers have been on a bit of a roll. Rodriguez has been relatively consistent, so I don't think you can read too much into this loss, Isaac.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I was just looking at the statistics from the game, and, you know, White Sox down 7-0 after the third inning. Yeah, that's not great. But at the same time, just don't read too much into it. You said it perfectly, because it's one baseball game of 162. The Tigers are coming off really quite a good series against the Yankees, taking 2 of 3, never giving up more than 4 runs. So you live up, to kind of your record of not having great pitching over the past few years, and you give up 10 runs late. Yeah, it's not a great look, but it's one game. You really can't draw that much into it. It's an away series, and you know what? You go back out tonight. I think Jordan Zimmermann is on the mound. You make up for it, and you regain your momentum. It's one baseball game. It's about the streak. It's not about an individual outing.
Yeah, when it comes to Francisco Rodriguez, again, it was just the second blown save of the season for Rodriguez, whose first came on opening day, April 5th, at Miami, actually, a game in which the Tigers eventually won 8-7. So, again, it's one of those days, as Brad Ausmus said after the game, quote, he had an off night. He's been so good, and all closers, even the best closers in the game, have an off night. He's one of the best, and he had an off night. The Tigers, again, they would take one. The Chicago White Sox, not the New York Yankees. Man, I need some coffee. That's what that is, dude. I'm just tired. Tired.
So
I'm a tired
only Tuesday.
Man.
Only so Tuesday. Only Tuesday.
Please.
Get through it.
I'm telling you, I got to get through it, dude. 8:10 p.m. tonight in Chicago. You can catch that one on Fox Sports Detroit. Less than 5 minutes left in the show. It is Tuesday, and we love to break the monotony that is the work week by having a little fun to close out each and every Tuesday's Current Sports. It's time for Tickle Tuesday.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
Oh, man, I love that intro. I don't know about you, Isaac. I crack up every time. You play it 1,000 times. I'll probably crack up 1,000 times after I hear it. All right, it's time for Tickle Tuesday. So what are some of the funniest stories in the world of sports? I got to go to Draymond Green, dude. I don't know if you saw this, but Draymond Green, he was actually asked to throw out the first pitch at Monday's Oakland A's game, but he respectfully declined. And so this is according to a rep for the A's, with the Golden State Warriors star serving a 1-game suspension and unable to be in the arena for Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Green said he would be attending the A's game, located, of course, right next to Oracle Arena. How awkward. Well, I wish Draymond would have said yes, because that would have been just a spit in the face to the NBA organization. Like, yeah, you may have suspended me, but hey, I'm still having fun. I'm right next door. If we win, I'm going to celebrate. If we lose, hey, I'll be there for Game 6.
Well, and I was talking to production assistant Seth Kinker behind the glass. Seth, he was talking to Marshawn Lynch, sitting with Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, did you see that? Did you see the photo of them up there?
Yeah, I mean, that is just the best. So, no, credit to him for making a bad night a good night, a good date night with Marshawn, I guess. But anyway, mine would have to be actually going a few weeks back, and I've always meant to bring this up. I forgot. Shaq is a Lyft driver. I'm not sure if you saw that, but Shaq drives around A-Town, Atlanta, and the entire time he's wearing these ridiculous costumes. One's Rastafari. One time, I think he dresses up with a long wig. I don't even know what to call it. He's got Jerry curls for one.
Yeah.
And he's just driving around with all of these different accents, asking people, what do you think about Shaquille O'Neal, while being their Lyft driver, getting them to rap? I mean, Shaq has got to be one of the most personable, likable athletes of all time. I've missed these great skits because he really is so good at them.
Isn't he funny? You know what surprised me watching that video, though, is how many people didn't recognize it was him at first. I'm like, dude, I mean, the disguises were okay, but they weren't to the point where you can't recognize that Shaquille O'Neal. So all he did was, like, take off a mustache, and you're like, oh, my God, you're Shaquille O'Neal? And you had a mustache on. Like, come on, dude. So that was a funny video. I encourage everyone to check out that one. All right, folks, we are out of time for this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. Much thanks to the head coach of the St. John State Championship Boys Golf Team, Paul Sternberg, for joining me on today's show. Have a fantastic day. and be easy, people.